1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This week on Viewpoints.
They very much wanted to fight for their country and to defeat the Nazis and help win the war. But at the same time, they had to fight just for the right to serve in the military.
Remembering the contributions of African-American soldiers during World War II. Then,
they would lie about their positions. They would lie about their titles. They would lie about whether they'd been married before or not.
Exploring the history of the New York Times wedding and engagement section. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Welcome back to College Bowl season. And now it looks like a fan has run onto the field carrying a $5 KFC bowl.
Oh, yeah, it looks like the mac and cheese bowl with five original recipe nuggets or the new Nashville hot loaded fry bowl with nuggets, coleslaw, secret recipe fries, pickles, and Nashville hot sauce. Wow, looks yummy from up here.
Boy, everybody wants that bowl as more fans are pouring onto the field. Hey, Phil!
Get the only bowls that matter this season. Five delicious bowls, just $5 each. Only at KFC. Prices and participation may vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest. The last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
It's been almost 80 years since the end of World War II. This global conflict upended life between 1939 and 1945. By its end, more than 418,000 Americans had perished. Today, we better understand this war by watching movies, reading books, and heading to museums that cover this period. But sadly, there are some groups that have been largely left out of the narrative. One of them is the extent to which African Americans contributed to the war. Did you know that around 1.3 million black American men and women helped the U.S. win the war? Probably not. Historian and author Matthew Delmont says that many of these stories of heroic service have been swept under the rug and simply forgotten. He highlights the story of one man, Doris Miller, who was a U.S. Navy cook on the USS West Virginia.
Doris Miller, you know, he had no training on the ship's anti-aircraft guns. He helps to rescue a number of injured crewmates and then goes above board and uses one of these anti-aircraft guns to fire back at Japanese planes. There are other stories later in the war of black messmen performing heroically, helping to save white crewmates aboard these ships. And so for me, those are really powerful examples of black Americans who were assigned to pretty menial tasks aboard ships, but were still very much at war. They were still put in these combat situations. And when given the opportunity, they performed heroically.
Matthew Delmond is a professor of history at Dartmouth College and an expert on African American and civil rights history. He's also the author of the book Half American, the epic story of African Americans fighting World War II at home and abroad. Through research for his book, Delmond uncovered firsthand accounts from hundreds of black Americans that served in the military. During a time when the U.S. was still very segregated and discriminatory, some of these men questioned their efforts.
The title from the book is drawn from a letter that a man named James Thompson wrote. James Thompson was a 26-year-old from Wichita, Kansas, and shortly after the attack on Pearl Harbor in December of 1941, he sits down and writes a letter to the Pittsburgh Courier, which was one of the largest and most influential black newspapers in the country. In that letter, he writes, "Should I sacrifice my life to live half American? Is the America I know worth defending?" And he goes on to ask a series of these very pointed questions about what it means for him and other Black Americans to get drafted into a segregated military. And that phrase, that question he asks, "Should I sacrifice my life to live half American?" It's just really stuck with me for the 7 years I've worked on this book.
Delmont says that throughout World War II, the entire U.S. military was racially segregated. Even as Americans banded together to support war efforts, there was still deep racism and prejudice emanating throughout America. As a result, the military routinely placed black American servicemen in unskilled back-end positions and continued the practice of segregation.
It made no sense for a military that was trying to fight and win a global war, that there was no reason to have a segregated military. In fact, it was more logistically complicated because they had to do everything in duplicate. They had to make separate training facilities for black and white troops, separate latrines, separate cafeterias. All of that was redundant and took more time and energy and resources to do. The only reason they maintained that racial segregation was to try to appease the racial prejudice of a lot of white Americans.
Even in training, Delmont says black Americans faced violence, discrimination, and racism. Servicemen in military uniforms who lived in the North and traveled south for training endured continuous harassment and poor treatment by both fellow citizens and army men.
They would get on trains in places like Chicago or New York and be sent to these training facilities in the South. And almost to a person, they describe when the trains reached Washington, D.C. or reached another demarcation point to the South, they had to transfer from integrated seats on the train to segregated train cars. Even though they were wearing U.S. military uniforms, it immediately signified to them that they were not fully part of the military effort, that they were going to be segregated and treated separately, really treated as second-class citizens. They tell stories about pulling into these southern towns and having to pull the shades down on the trains so that white townspeople wouldn't throw rocks at the trains they pulled into town. And then they tell stories about going to these training bases across the U.S. South and being harassed both by white officers and other white enlisted men and by white townspeople. When they were on base, the white officers would call them racial epithets almost daily, and they were subjected to extreme forms of segregation and racism even while they're still in the U.S.
And while hundreds of thousands of black men headed off to training and deployment, their counterparts were hard at work supporting troops in different ways.
They helped to build the airplanes and the tanks and the trucks that helped to win the war. And those were really important job opportunities for black women. They were fighting to get that foothold in these industries and played a really important role once they got there in terms of producing the goods that were needed to win the war. And then in terms of the military effort itself, there were thousands of black women who participated in the Women's Army Corps. The largest group was a group called the 688th Central Postal Directly Battalion under the leadership of Charity Adams, who ensured that troops throughout the European theater received mail from home, which was really vital for morale, that black troops and white troops described how important it was to receive letters from home. And this unit of black women are the ones who made sure that that happened.
In fact, Delmont says that by and large, black Americans who were shipped abroad to Europe or Asia actually had a better experience in the Army than those stationed in the U.S. One of these stories is that of Army man Medgar Evers. In 1943, Evers dropped out of high school, enlisted in the Army, and soon found himself in Europe. While there, he was assigned to a non-combat role where he unloaded and transported weapons, vehicles, and supplies for troops.
Medgar Evers describes staying with a French family for a week and it being the first time he feels like he's ever treated as an equal by a white person. And that treatment, that sort of expanding of his worldview, really influences him when he goes back to Mississippi after the war, that he credits that as being one of the things that leads him to fight for voting rights as soon as he's back in 1945 and 1946. And his experience wasn't unique. There were numerous black veterans who described really having their eyes opened by the different kind of treatment they received while they're in Europe, and that really influencing what they wanted to see happen in the United States when they came home.
Each black American who served during World War II had a different experience. Delmont points out that one reason black narratives are not as well known is because many African-American veterans didn't want to reopen traumatic memories.
They were so deeply troubled and upset by their treatment that they didn't particularly want to talk about it after the war. It was deeply, deeply hurtful to be asked to serve your country or to volunteer to serve your country and then to be treated in this way. Particularly for black Americans who came from northern cities, obviously there was racism in places like New York and Chicago, but the way that racism was felt and was carried out was different than how it was experienced in Alabama, Mississippi, and in Georgia.
The contributions of more than 1 million black Americans who served in World War II were critical to America's victory. These strong men and women persevered despite the discrimination and bias they endured. Without them, who knows what the world may have looked like today? To find out more about this topic and our guest, Matthew Delmont, visit viewpointsradio.org. Also check out his book, Half American, available in bookstores and online now. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment originally aired in 2022 and was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our lead producer is Libby Foster, studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join our growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Coming up, what makes for a good feature in the New York Times wedding and engagement section? We'll hear from one former journalist when Viewpoints returns.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second-grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super-rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on it
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on it.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on it.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
put a sheet on it with Bounce.
For many couples, getting featured in the New York Times wedding and engagement section is a big feat. Each week, hundreds of people submit their love stories to the paper and eagerly await a response back, hoping maybe that they've made the cut. And this exciting tradition goes back hundreds of years. The first New York Times wedding announcement was published on September 18, 1851. It was one sentence long and featured a young, newly married bride and groom from New York. But today, these bios are typically longer and feature all different types of people. You don't have to be a financier, an executive, or come from a prestigious family to make it into the pages. All you need is a good story that captures the hearts of readers. So, how do outlets select who gets published in this coveted section? It's a long series of steps, but it starts with the editor first sorting through submissions.
At the beginning of the week, gave us a stack of the submissions that he thought would fit the wedding status. And he looked for a diversity of couples, a diversity of backgrounds. But you'd get these people on the phone, and 95% of the time, they were extremely excited to talk to the New York Times. And the 5% that they weren't, they really were not excited about this.
That's Kate Doty, a writer and former editor at the New York Times, where she spent several years working as a weddings announcement writer in the weekly Weddings and Engagements section. Doty is also the author of the book Mergers and Acquisitions, or Everything I Know About Love I Learned from the Wedding Pages. When Doty got married more than a decade ago, she and her husband were featured in the New York Times wedding section. In the post, it was included that the bride was a descendant of Edward Doty, a passenger on the Mayflower and a signer of the Mayflower Compact.
The reason I had it included is because, you know, I would interview these brides and grooms, and by and large, it wasn't the brides and grooms that were so intent on including this information in the announcement. It was like their mothers or their fathers or their grandmothers. It was certainly more important to older generations, but I remember thinking, you know, like, super wealthy, elite society people can have their Mayflower lineage included in, by God, Kate Doty, the daughter of a teacher and a woodworker and park ranger, can have that in there as well.
Doty believes that today these pages are the perfect opportunity to share the quirky details, personal successes, or an interesting love story that led the couple to find each other. Rewind back to the 1800s, and these pages were mainly reserved for prominent families like the nuptials of a Carnegie or a Vanderbilt.
There was such, and there still is, such a public appetite for news about rich people, especially in New York. You know, you'd have like the Astors and the Vanderbilts and the Van Leeuwens and the people chronicled in all of Edith Wharton's books spending just gobs and gobs of money on weddings. And there would be so many reporters trying to cover this wedding that they would build these fabric tents that went straight from where the carriage would pull up on the street to the door of the church. So there's a lot of exclusion happening, but by the same token, these families still needed their mergers that they were making through weddings to be known by the public to affirm their place in society.
Today, wedding pages are more inclusive. It's a beloved tradition that's celebrated in small towns and big cities alike. Each outlet is different, with some papers going into great detail on what the couple wore and the ceremony itself. Doty points to her own mother's announcement that chronicled every element of the classic Southern wedding.
My mother's wedding announcement was huge. It listed what was in her bouquet and what her dress was made out of. And so it quickly evolved from like just rich people having their announcements in the paper to everybody having their announcements in the paper. And they became more democratic, I guess.
With more people submitting bios, Doty says that she's met a lot of remarkable people throughout the years. However, not all of these whirlwind stories turned out to be true. Like any other traditional media outlet, the New York Times would interview couples under consideration and then dig deeper to make sure all of the information they provided checked out.
You'd get on the phone with the HR departments of their companies and make sure they are professionally who they say they are. And you'd call the priest or the rabbi in the church or the temple or the synagogue to make sure that the pieces of information these people had submitted were actually true. And often you would catch them out in a lie, and that would prompt another conversation, a more challenging one this time. We would catch people out on some fairly significant falsehoods. They would lie about their positions. They would lie about their titles. They would lie about whether they'd been married before or not, because if you've read the announcements, you'll know that they do note whether the bride's first marriage ended in divorce or the groom was a widow, that sort of thing. People would lie about it because they didn't want to be embarrassed by being divorced. So the rules feel a bit antiquated, and I think to a certain extent are, but the whole point of it was to create a complete portrait of that couple. And a previous marriage, the wedding's editor believed, was part of that portrait.
So if you're hoping to get your engagement or wedding into your local newspaper or a larger national outlet like the New York Times, Doty has some straightforward advice.
Tell the truth, number one. Be as truthful as you can be and lay out your story as best you can for the editors that are about to read your announcement. You're far more likely to catch the eye of an editor when you really talk about why you're marrying this person and what it is that makes your relationship and what will make your marriage tick. Those are both really important things. But the most important thing is just to tell the truth.
If you're looking for some inspiration, read some previously published announcements. Some can be more traditional and will touch on the background of the couple and the families on either side. But some can dig deeper into the duo's path to love, barriers they faced, or why they chose to ultimately commit.
I hope that we always have wedding announcements, and this is why. Number one, it's part of a person's story, and I think that it's important to have those markers in a person's life. I think that as marriage evolves, the very nature of marriage evolves, which I think we've seen that do, and what we consider a family, what American society is willing to accept as a family, evolves. I hope that we see a more democratized wedding section, and I think we're already doing that. For sure. It's not just like white, straight, cishet couples anymore. I think the pages are reflecting the more and more Americans as they are and as they live and as they choose to live. And I think that's an absolutely wonderful thing. And so I hope that we have many years to come of wedding announcements that reflect these people, that reflect the people that have been for so long excluded from the pages or didn't feel like they belonged. So I think I get to read my kids' wedding announcement in whatever form that takes. Maybe it's not a marriage announcement. Maybe it's a partnership announcement. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know. But I hope that we continue to recognize people in print or digitally as they make these giant decisions in their lives. I think that's really important.
To find out more about engagement and wedding announcements and the history of this tradition, as well as our guest, Kate Doty, visit viewpointsradio.org. Also, check out her book, Mergers and Acquisitions, which can be found online and in bookstores. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment originally aired in 2021 and was written by executive producer Amira Zaveri. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our studio engineer is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Whoa, it's you, the Capital One Bank guy.
That's what they call me.
Mind if I get a selfie?
Yeah, sure thing. Say no fees or minimums on your Capital One checking account.
Wow, that's a keeper. So, where are you heading?
I'm off to spread the good news that Capital One helps people keep more money in their wallet with no overdraft fees.
Oh, you're the best Capital One Bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Since the 1960s, guaranteed income has been seen by some as a way to support marginalized communities and reduce poverty. This intervention provides regular cash payments to low-income households with no strings attached. But how does it work, and could it be a viable solution for today's economic challenges? In recent years, several cities and states have launched pilot programs to test this idea. Private companies have also invested. One of the largest studies was by Open Research, a nonprofit organization founded by OpenAI CEO Sam Altman. Between 2020 and 2023, Open Research followed 3,000 participants who were divided into two groups, people who received $1,000 a month and people who received $50 a month. Participants came from rural, suburban, and urban communities in Illinois and Texas, and their average annual income was around $30,000. The findings, which were published in the National Bureau of Economic Research, showed that the group receiving $1,000 a month spent more on essential needs such as food, rent, and transportation. They also reported spending 26% more on financially supporting family members. Advocates for guaranteed income argue that giving people cash provides greater autonomy and financial freedom. However, critics believe these payments could discourage people from working. The Open Research study did find that people who received the higher monthly payments worked about 1.3 hours less than those who got the $50. States like South Dakota, Idaho, and Arkansas have already taken steps to restrict the use of public funds for guaranteed income programs. It's still too early to say whether guaranteed income will prove effective or if it will continue to face ongoing opposition. But one question remains. If you had an extra $1,000 a month, how would you use it? That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. Stay tuned. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Nostalgia for the 2000s is all the rage. Music artists like Olivia Rodrigo and movies like Kyle Mooney's Y2K are tapping into the bygone era by way of cargo pants and trucker hats, and there's a demand right now for stories set around the turn of the millennium. And that makes sense, because everything is cool 20 years later. But for me, the best way to get my 2000s fix is simply by watching the shows that were in the zeitgeist at the time. Thanks to the streaming revolution, it's never been easier to go back and rewatch those Teen Choice Award winners like The O.C., Friday Night Lights, One Tree Hill, and Veronica Mars. Set in a world with flip phones, limited social media, and dominated by indie emo music, these teen dramas really do paint a portrait of a simpler, more tangible early 2000s world. But in addition to the 2000s technology and fashion, these early to mid 2000s TV hits also harken back to the older model of TV development. Nowadays, new shows are typically 8 to 10 episodes long. They're all plot, and they're built to be binged in 2 or 3 days. Shows like The O.C. or One Tree Hill, however, are built around those larger 20-something episode seasons. There are filler episodes, and so much of the appeal is in allowing audiences to spend time with the characters they've come to love. These shows are built on an episodic structure instead of that more modern full-season approach, and that means there's just more to savor with each viewing. Sure, they may not be the most mind-blowing, well-written, Peabody-winning explorations of the form, but teen dramas from the 2000s always keep me engaged. And in these long, cold winter days, what more could I want? I'm Evan Rook.
Welcome back to College Bowl season. And now it looks like a fan has run onto the field carrying a $5 KFC bowl.
Oh, yeah, it looks like the mac and cheese bowl with 5 original recipe nuggets or the new Nashville hot loaded fry bowl with nuggets, coleslaw, secret recipe fries, pickles, and Nashville hot sauce. Wow, looks yummy from up here.
Boy, everybody wants that bowl as more fans are pouring onto the field. Hey, Phil!
Get the only bowls that matter this season. 5 delicious bowls, just $5 each, only at KFC. Prices and participation may vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
I'm Chad Holmes, joining former Newman Catholic head boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself every Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Each week, we'll recap the action in high school basketball and hockey and look ahead to the coming week's matchups. Plus, we'll have special guests. Each week, we'll have an opportunity to sit down with one of our area head coaches to find out more about their team and their program. And also, we'll be joined by one of our area student athletes each week. We'll talk about their sports, talk about school, and a whole bunch more as well. It's the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction, every Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
So, how are the kids?
Well, Emily made the honor roll.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, we're really proud of her. Tyler, on the other hand, though.
What's going on?
He's been moody lately, just feeling down and not like himself.
Oh, we've been there. Nick was struggling last spring. He was so anxious and stressed.
Really? What helped?
Well, he joined the soccer team. And ever since, he's been a lot happier. He has more energy, he's less stressed, and he's definitely in a better mood at home. It's made a huge difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting out of the house, he's getting some exercise, and he's off his phone for once. It's been good for his mental health.
Sounds like it's been good for your mental health, too.
Participating in Wisconsin high school sports improves students' physical and mental health. Encourage your son or daughter to get involved. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This week on Viewpoints.
While there certainly are harms out there, we're throwing out the potential benefits that can also occur to people who want to try to use social media responsibly with their children.
Why did Australia pass a law banning social media for kids? Then
they finally have decided that I'm not waiting anymore. I am doing that thing that I've always wanted to do, and that in many occasions tends to be travel.
More women are stepping outside their comfort zone and embracing solo travel. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
Whether or not and how much young adults should use social media has been a controversial topic since the rise of platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and X. Unlike previous generations, most Americans under age 35 have never known a world without these apps. While today's kids grow up immersed in the digital world, some argue that their access to these platforms should be more tightly controlled. And now governments have started to take action. In fact, one country just passed a landmark law restricting children's social media use.
Australia just recently passed into law a bill that would essentially ban people under 16 from engaging with social media of various kinds. There's no carve out. You can't get a note from a parent or something like that. There's no way for people under 16 in Australia to legally access social media. And social media companies are required by law now to sort of police their platforms to prevent children from getting on.
That's David Insera, Fellow for Free Expression and Technology at the Cato Institute. The law, which is planned to take effect this year, will force tech giants like TikTok and Meta to implement restrictions designed to keep minors off their platforms. Insera says failure to do so could result in fines totaling tens of millions of dollars a year. According to a poll by the Australian Broadcasting Company, 60% of Australians supported the ban before it became law. What were their concerns? Julie Skelfo, founder and executive director of Mothers Against Media Addiction, says unrestricted social media access is affecting the mental health of young adults.
The rise of constant access to smartphones, social media, and the internet is causing the mental health crisis in children and adolescents. In the United States, for example, we have been in what the American Academy of Pediatrics calls a national emergency in youth mental health since 2021. What's happening on social media is that the way the algorithms have been written is to amplify the most extreme, the most possible harmful content to children. And kids are seeing things that no child should be exposed to, like violence, self-harm, unrealistic beauty standards. And they're seeing it in such quantity and frequency that it's actually replacing healthier experiences that they would be having if they were socializing in person with other friends.
In the U.S., there's been an alarming rise of depression, anxiety, and other mental health disorders among young adults. According to Yale School of Medicine, suicide deaths among 10 to 24-year-olds have risen 62% from 2007 to 2021. Researchers point to several different factors for this rise, including the COVID pandemic, substance abuse, and bullying. But they're also raising alarm bells about the potential mental health effects of social media. In 2023, the American Psychological Association issued a health advisory on social media use in adolescents. Skelfo shares similar concerns and says these apps are fueling an addiction to screens that may have long-lasting effects.
We are seeing that teenagers today are spending as much as 9 hours a day on a screen. I mean, think about that. 9 hours a day all week is more than a full-time job. So all of that time that they're experiencing life through screens, that is displaced time that they would have been experiencing life through interpersonal interactions. So what's happening is kids are not getting the building blocks they need to learn how to relate to other people, to learn how to conduct themselves. And we're hearing even from employers, for example, that the young generation doesn't have basic skills like looking people in the eye and learning how to de-escalate a conflict.
Despite the downsides, it's important to recognize that social media is not all bad for every teenager. For kids with family living far away or friends at different schools, these platforms provide an easy way to stay connected. Social media can also be a vital source of support as many young LGBTQ individuals look for support. While there are pros and cons to adolescent social media use, Insera believes that restricting these apps should be a parent's decision, not the government's.
If you're a parent who wants to empower your kid to responsibly use some element of social media, you don't have a choice anymore. So we've simply removed that choice from parents and just said the state will govern your child in this area, which I think is a bad approach. And it will, while there certainly are harms out there, we're throwing out the potential benefits that can also occur to people who want to try to use social media responsibly with their children. And that should be up to every individual parent to decide how they want to do that. That choice is now gone.
Skelfo, however, disagrees with the idea that parents are able to protect their kids from potential harm. A mom of three, she says that even the most proactive parents can't control for everything on social media. She argues that legislators need to step in and regulate these platforms the same way they regulate addictive substances like alcohol and tobacco.
Big tech is using the exact same playbook that was used by big tobacco. And once we realized how bad cigarettes were, big tobacco said, oh, you know, it's not our job to make sure people are healthy. That's up to individuals to do. There is no way a parent can be responsible for monitoring absolutely everything their child sees online. And just like an individual parent can't make sure the roads are safe or can't make sure the food supply is safe, we need solutions that are, you know, built in and help make sure the entire system has safeguards for children.
Many parents agree with Skelfo that more guardrails are needed, but what might they look like? Once the Australian ban takes effect, Sincera says it's likely all social media users will have to provide some form of government ID to prove their age. Although companies are promising to keep this data safe and secure, it's possible personal information could get into the wrong hands. And Sarah also warns that these age verification measures could restrict free speech, which affects both kids and adults.
Even adults who are engaging in anonymous speech online, those users' speech, that anonymous speech might no longer be anonymous if the information gets hacked, if there's something goes wrong on the cybersecurity side. And so every bit of anonymous speech that we care about, whether it be whistleblowers, whether it be dissidents, whether it be just minority groups that want to speak up on a difficult issue in one way or another, all of that speech, which is easier when it's anonymous, all that speech is now potentially something that could be outed if something goes wrong on the data systems of the companies. That's a pretty big problem for speech, and it affects all adults, not just the kids who are just excluded from the platforms entirely.
Skelfo says potential security concerns are worth the risk if it means protecting more young adults.
Some of the social media companies said, oh, we don't want to collect that data. It's a privacy issue. Well, guess what? When their internal documents were revealed, it showed that they already know their algorithms are so sophisticated that they can tell when a child lies and says they're 13, but they're actually 11. And they even collected data on how often our 11-year-olds or 12-year-olds were so addicted to Instagram that they were up at 1 a.m. 2 a.m. on school nights because they couldn't put it away. So yes, there is some sacrifice of privacy if we age gate certain products, but I think it's a small price to pay for ensuring that our children are kept safe and putting an end to the national emergency in youth mental health.
Australia is not the only country to consider legislation around youth and social media. In July of last year, the United States Senate passed the Kids Online Safety Act with bipartisan support. The bill lays out guidelines to shield children from harmful material online and requires platforms to disable addicting features like infinite scrolling and personalized content feeds for minors. With Australia's social media ban for youth taking effect soon, many are wondering if the U.S. will follow suit with similar legislation. To find out more about Julie Scalfo, David and Sarah, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galante. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, why more women are choosing to travel alone when Viewpoints returns.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Charmin Ultra Strong. You can use less, better than the rest. Charmin Ultra Strong. Your booty past the clean tech. Yeah. Salmon wave texture, it's the best. Study up, teach a lesson on fresh. Your booty past the clean tech.
Yes, sir.
Charmin Ultra Strong.
Charmin Ultra Strong with diamond weave texture cleans better than the leading one-ply brand, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
So the thing no one tells you about periods is that your flow changes every day, and so should your tampon size. Tampax has 5 absorbencies to match your changing flow. If it's uncomfortable to remove, go down a size. If it leaks, go up a size. And only Tampax has a leak guard braid to help give you up to 100% leak and odor-free protection, all-day comfort and protection for up to 8 hours for under $5 a month, based on average U.S. consumer usage at manufacturer suggested price. However, pricing is at the sole discretion of the retailer. Excludes account pack.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
Travel has long been a way to escape routine, find independence, and explore cultures outside our own. Almost 2 decades ago, Elizabeth Gilbert's memoir, Eat, Pray, Love, brought solo travel into the spotlight. The book was a worldwide success. More than 12 million copies were sold, and it was translated into more than 30 languages. Today, in the age of social media, travel influencers act as modern tour guides, sharing images of themselves in exotic locations across the globe. And now, women from all walks of life are packing their bags and embracing the freedom of solo travel.
What has perhaps, I think, been the biggest driver is this visibility. Seeing more and more women online talking about their solo trips and talking about this, the goods and the bads, and bringing more awareness to the fact that it is a travel option and you can absolutely do it. Whereas maybe 10 years before, people would think, like, traveling solo, like, is that even a possibility, right?
That's Mar Podges, co-founder of the international travel company Solo Female Travelers. According to the nonprofit organization Road Scholar, 85% of solo travelers are women. It's also estimated that women spent around $125 billion on solo travel in 2023.
That's according to Condor Fairies. Since 2015, Podges and her business partner have built a Facebook community of more than 400,000 women from 100 countries who exchange tips on solo travel. Her company also offers tour packages where women traveling alone can join groups of other female travelers. Podges herself has gone to more than 70 countries on her own. So, what is it about this kind of travel that she enjoys?
You are just far more likely to meet people and make connections when you're by yourself. You are more likely to notice what's happening around you and to make connections, maybe eye contact or to talk to people, because you're not engrossed into conversation with the person next to you, right? So I think that this side effect is also what makes solo travel way more enriching for me.
For many people, the idea of taking a solo trip can be intimidating. Gloria Hill usually travels with friends or family from her home in Virginia. A visit to Tanzania was on her bucket list for many years, but she wasn't able to get anyone to commit to the trip. But in September of last year, she decided to take the plunge and embark on her first solo adventure. Hill says she was a little apprehensive about traveling alone, especially when she first arrived.
Usually there's someone else that's looking out for me. And so just when I got there, I was just like, oh my goodness, anything could happen to me and no one would know. And I was just concerned about like health-wise and just logistic-wise and all of the things that you can be concerned with when it comes to travel. But once I got there, all of those fears just went away.
Hill says she especially enjoyed learning about the culture and connecting with the local community while she was in Tanzania.
I think travel is just important as far as learning more about different cultures, different points of view. Tanzania was a really great place to go for solo travel. The people there were very friendly, very hospitable. I felt very safe in that country. Traveling solo, it gave me a lot more independence. It gave me a much more knowledge about my own strength.
While interest in solo travel among women is growing, safety remains a concern for many. The U.S. State Department warns that women may face additional health and security risks while traveling. As a result, there are countless online resources and forums offering tips and advice for women in different countries. Podges says that for this reason, many women choose to begin with solo group trips, which provide the support of a larger group while still allowing for the freedom and independence of being an individual traveler.
It gets recommended in the group a lot when members will say, I want to travel to this place, but I don't have anybody to go with, and I'm anxious about doing it by myself. A lot of other members will answer, why don't you join a group tour? And I've heard this also from a lot of our guests that on their first tour, they were happier and more at ease and more comfortable joining a group tour where they didn't have to plan the itinerary and where they were already going to be in a set environment that's safer and more comfortable and more convenient and more predictable, rather than having all of the variables up in the air.
While some hotels and tour companies are beginning to market to the growing audience of solo travelers, Podges says the majority of the travel industry still primarily targets couples or families. Sometimes there are even extra charges imposed on people traveling alone.
And this kind of comes historically from the cruise industry, because of course you have a certain availability of rooms. And so you want to maximize the number of people in those rooms. So selling a room to one person means that you're only having that one person spending. So you want two people. If you're only going to have one, you need to charge them a supplement, which historically, in the case of cruise ships, tends to be 200%. You have to pay for two people.
While the industry is working to catch up, women are continuing to pursue freedom, self-care, and self-discovery through travel. Podges says this is especially true for women over 60 who might not want to wait on their travel dreams.
But now suddenly they are empty nesters or widowed or divorced, or there's some traumatic experience that has happened in their life, which could be anything. And they finally have decided that I'm not waiting anymore. I am doing that thing that I've always wanted to do. And that in many occasions tends to be travel, taking that trip to Italy that my husband always promised he would take me on, or, you know, that trip to Australia that has always been on my bucket list, or this, I've always wanted to see the Northern Lights, or I've always wanted to go on safari. And why do I need to wait on other people to go on safari or for somebody to take me? I can just do it by myself.
One advantage to traveling in the digital age is that there is no shortage of options. Whether you're after fast-paced adventures, calm beach retreats, or cultural experiences, there are plenty of resources online to help you choose. For people who are ready to pursue their passion for travel and embark on new adventures but are unsure of where to begin, Hodges and Gloria Hill have this advice.
Start by keeping some of the variables constant so that you don't just like make it all different. You go to a different country with a different language, with a different culture, in a different time zone, everything different. No, keep some of the things constant by maybe taking a short weekend trip to a city in your own country first. See how you feel. See what things are challenging to you. It will be the same culture. It will be the same language, probably the same time zone. And so some of the things are already constant and you can focus on the things that are not constant, which is maybe eating by yourself, finding your ways around, meeting new people, discovering a new city. So start small by something in your own country.
If you have somewhere that you want to go, but you're scared to go by yourself and you don't have a group of people that are willing to go with you, then find a group. There's so many places out there between social media and in-person events. You can find a group. I mean, I have a travel agent and she creates all these packages for people. And it's like people that read certain books and people that go to certain festivals and they then plan a trip. So I feel like it's easier than you probably think.
To find out more about Gloria Hill, Mar Podges, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Erica Linney. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
You okay?
Sorry, I can't sleep with this cough.
Sounds like you need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with NyQuil VapoCool. It's NyQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
Whoa.
So you're ready to get some sleep? Thank you, NyQuil VapoCool.
NyQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing nighttime coughing, aching, fever, best sleep with a cold medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. When it comes to parenting, there's no one-size-fits-all approach, but a new study suggests that humor might be a powerful tool to have in your parenting toolkit. According to a pilot study led by researchers from Penn State, parents who used humor while their kids were growing up were viewed more positively by their adult children. The study, which was published in the PLOS ONE journal, gathered data from more than 300 people ages 18 to 45. Researchers discovered that 71% of the respondents believe humor can be an effective parenting tool. The majority also said they would use humor-based techniques with their own kids. Dr. Benjamin Levi, senior authority of the study and a professor at Penn State College of Medicine, explains that humor can help parents reduce stress and help build cognitive and emotional flexibility. He points out that parenting can be stressful, and humor is a great way to ease the tension and make those tough times feel a little more manageable for everyone involved. While this data is still emerging, one thing that's clear, as the old saying goes, laughter really might be the best medicine. According to the Mayo Clinic, laughter can improve mood, stimulate your organs, relieve stress, and boost your overall satisfaction. So why not try injecting a little more humor into your parenting routine? As long as the jokes aren't at your kids' expense, go ahead and throw in those corny quips, classic dad jokes, or even a harmless prank now and then. It could help make the daily grind just a little bit lighter. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. Stay tuned. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. In the summer of 2023, Christopher Nolan released Oppenheimer, a juggernaut of a film that grossed almost $1 billion and won the Oscar for Best Picture. Just like when his 2017 war film Dunkirk exceeded expectations at the box office and with critics, or when Nolan released The Dark Knight in 2008 or Inception in 2010, Oppenheimer sparked discussions about what exactly brings audiences to theaters in droves for Christopher Nolan films. Well, the recent IMAX re-release of Nolan's 2014 space epic Interstellar presented a great opportunity for me and millions of dollars of ticket sales worth of others to consider that question all over again. Interstellar has always been an absolute feast for the senses. With large swaths of the movie shot directly onto IMAX film, some of the biggest, most heart-pounding set pieces imaginable, and one of the greatest film scores ever recorded, Interstellar, like all Nolan movies, was made to be enjoyed as big and as loud as possible. And ultimately, that's what sets Nolan apart from other filmmakers. His movies always feel like events. Seeing a Nolan film in IMAX is more like going to the best concert you've ever experienced in your life than it is like just watching an hour or two of so-called content. He puts big ideas and big performances into motion and then captures them in the highest resolution possible. The fact is, Nolan films being shown in IMAX theaters will always draw a crowd because he uses every tool at his disposal to fill even the biggest canvases imaginable. Interstellar is an incredible film, and that remains true at home. But some things are just best served in certain venues, and those who went to see Oppenheimer or Interstellar in IMAX will tell you that format simply puts Christopher Nolan's work over the top every time. I'm Evan Rook.
You carry a lot. The needs of your family and friends, the responsibilities of work and home, and that doesn't stop when your period starts. New Always Ultra Thin pads are designed to keep up with your busy life. When an unexpected gush hits, you need to trust that your pad has your back and your flow. With new and improved Rapid Dry technology, Always Ultra Thin now absorbs 3 times faster than the leading size 2 store brand pad, so you can feel cleaner, drier, and fresher. Always Ultra Thin, always gush ready.
What's better than one win? 3 wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
That's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
I'm Chad Holmes, joining former Newman Catholic head boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself every Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Each week we'll recap the action in high school basketball and hockey and look ahead to the coming week's matchups. Plus, we'll have special guests. Each week, we'll have an opportunity to sit down with one of our area head coaches to find out more about their team and their program. And also, we'll be joined by one of our area student athletes each week. We'll talk about their sports, talk about school, and a whole bunch more as well. It's the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction, every Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
So, how are the kids?
Well, Emily made the honor roll.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, we're really proud of her.
Tyler, on the other hand, though.
What's going on?
He's been moody lately, just feeling down and not like himself.
Oh, we've been there. Nick was struggling last spring. He was so anxious and stressed.
Really? What helped?
Well, he joined the soccer team. And ever since, he's been a lot happier. He has more energy, he's less stressed, and he's definitely in a better mood at home. It's made a huge difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting out of the house, he's getting some exercise, and he's off his phone for once. It's been good for his mental health.
Sounds like it's been good for your mental health, too.
Participating in Wisconsin high school sports improves students' physical and mental health. Encourage your son or daughter to get involved. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Wildfires continue to spread in Southern California. On CBS's Face the Nation, FEMA's director Deanne Criswell said the wind is her big concern for crews battling the blazes.
These winds change the dynamics of this fire, and so I'm concerned for the safety of our firefighters, concerned for their ability to contain this fire.
Nashville's digging out from several inches of snow. Taylor Moby owns a coffee shop in the downtown area and says they're back open for business.
We had a great day. We were super busy. People were out having fun in the snow. It was really a fun day.
Special counsel Jack Smith has resigned from the Justice Department. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
When people look back at Jack Smith's tenure, I think they will see that in both of the cases that he brought against President Trump, his efforts were largely stymied.
And there are still questions whether to release the findings of those investigations. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
I'm Brittany.